Certainly, testing is available for staff, frontline staff in various settings, and we've been facilitating testing for staff, not just the Port Health staff, but some of the wider frontline staff, including immigration, customs, etc. So that continues to be available.
Available implies that they have to request it, or is this something that is being done on a regular basis because they also have to come into contact with patients?
So currently it may be requested by the individuals or by the managers of the particular units or teams, and that is facilitated.
In these circumstances, do you believe that that is adequate, though?
We believe that is appropriate in the current circumstances. There have been discussions about routinizing testing, yeah. And those discussions continue.
Right. So I don't think there is much international guidance with respect to routine testing of frontline workers. But we can go back to the drawing board and to make sure, because we have to make sure our resources are limited. And okay. We have to make sure that our persons who are frontline workers are being kept safe. There are people in Barbados who, when they swab the prison, that was a mammoth undertaking. It was all done by the Ministry of Health staff. There hasn't been a rush from persons outside ministry to say, you know what, let's come and work. Let's put our hands to the plow. We have council leave across this ministry. We are bringing in administrative officers who typically do not perform certain functions, all because we realize that we need more hands on the ground. I would like to thank the public for their cooperation so far.
Yeah.
To let them know that this is a difficult time for us, but I believe we can rise to the occasion.
Well, thank you very much. And just before you go, Dr. Grandison, when it comes to the testing of health personnel, what is BAMP saying?
Hi, Mr. Johnson. Yes, BAMP is of a firm belief that if the possibility arises where the majority of our private doctors are actually going into the space, and certainly the doctors who are already in the space, that they should have the option of having testing as needed. I would state that so far the QH has actually met with us and they are happy to take into consideration such if we are needed in that space. And I must commend them for actually reaching out and taking into consideration our concerns, because our doctors will have to go back home to their families and we need to make sure that everybody's safe. So at this point in time, I think it is very, very important that testing is available. I know that these tests are at a cost. And again, we also do not want to contribute to overrunning the system, but certainly we need to make sure that we are staying safe so that we can remain safe for our population. I just wanted to touch briefly, however, on the issue of glasses and eye protection. And there was actually a study that was done late last year in September by Zhang, where he actually investigated a small group of persons in Hubei, China, and found that persons who actually wore spectacles actually had a lower chance of actually contracting COVID-19, provided that they were doing the other public health measures. As although this is not a conclusive test and this is something that is evolving, certainly it is something to take into consideration. So I do take into consideration that for the listener. And this is the environment that we need to provide, whereas the science changes, because the science is ever evolving, that we continue to return to the science, examine the documentation, and go from there. In addition to that, as we know, Barbados has a very high population of persons who have NCDs. And this is something that we also need to pay attention to. We are seeing quite often our general population, they're having, and persons are stressed out, you know, but we are now seeing persons who are becoming poorly controlled because they're unable to access healthcare as they would have before the pandemic. And we tend to find persons who may not even reach out to get assistance when their NCDs are poorly controlled. So these are the type of things that we want to make sure that we cover our bases and keep our public population safe.
Well, let me take the opportunity to thank Drs. George and Dr. and Philip for coming on board to today's edition of Down to Brass Tacks. They were not here with us at the beginning, and their intervention has been prompted by some of the comments that we had from our two doctors who have been here with us early, Anne and Dr. Brendan Larder. They have been with us throughout the program, but it was absolutely necessary to get that kind of interaction among medical practitioners, because as I said at the start, there are so many people in Barbados who really are hungry for more and more information. And as much as possible, we need to fuse both public and private sector as much as we can. We sincerely hope that coming out of this discussion so far, that we will be able to get both the private and public sectors working more closely together in trying to grapple with this in the interest of taking Barbados forward in a more positive way in this regard. So once again, I want to thank Drs. Philip, George.
Thank you so much. I think that a fair criticism is that the ministry needs to be more upright, more focused, more, you know, clear in giving information. We will look at those issues. We haven't been able to discuss all the issues of COVID, including vaccines and so forth. There's so many moving parts.
Yeah.
So that I guess this can be discussed at another time. This whole issue of vaccines gives us hope that countries across the board who have lost control, that there is light at the end of the tunnel. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you both. Let's take another call. So we have three doctors with us on the line now. We have Dr. Larder, Adana Grandison, and we also have Anne. This is Down to Brass Tacks. My producer, Dennis Johnson, wanted to add a particular concern to this discussion. Dennis?
Yeah, David, sorry. I had asked the question privately. I thought they would have picked it up without me coming in. As someone who takes immunosuppressants, and I don't think I'm the only one who does, the development of vaccines, what kind of, wouldn't have an effect on someone who has to suppress the immune system to control an illness, would it?
Dr. Larder, Anne?
So the question was if a person is immunosuppressed, if they would...
If the vaccine would make any difference. Taking a vaccine would make any difference.
So in general, who can get a vaccine depends on whether it's live virus, etc. I don't think we have to deal with that with these COVID vaccines, but Dr. Larder can elaborate on that. Immunosuppression really does suppress your white blood cells, etc., which are part of the antibody-making mechanism. I don't know if there's published literature yet on whether who in the scheme of persons who take immunosuppressant therapy, whether they should get the vaccine. I imagine that they would, and whether it's as efficacious. I don't know. You'd have to probably parse out the clinical trials that were done to see what information can be gleaned based on that subset of patients. But I've not seen that analysis, but I probably have a look at it and try to submit that information or, you know, speak to a rheumatology friend of mine.
Is there anything that you can add to this, Dr. Larder?
Not really. No, I would have said the same thing. Look at need to study the clinical trial data from the three main vaccines that have been produced so far, and see what the indications are in terms of their for their approval. But that's about as much as I could add to it.
Okay, let's take another call. Yeah, sorry.
Sorry, there's one thing I want to say, and I think we need to make it clear, because I could hear the, you know, hurt in Dr. George's tone a little bit when he was talking about criticism and burnout. Burnout is very real, and I want to join that caller and raise my voice in thanking everybody who's working at this right now. But what I think might come over inadvertently when your physicians are discussing, you know, medicine and science is that when systems are, I don't want to just say the word failing, but in medicine, if you have an outbreak and you're not supposed to have one, then you have a system failure or something. So when things are going wrong, you have to kind of extract emotion. Certainly, there's no partisan thing here, you know, in this discussion. And I want the public to know that, you know, we are not condemning the actions of the government. I certainly am not, and I believe Dr. Larder isn't either. I think that, you know, we are just trying to maybe, you know, urge them perhaps more to look at that BAMP protocol, and especially the aspect of it regarding the quarantine period for people coming into the country, given the changing circumstances globally, prevalence-wise, as well as regarding the new variants.
Okay. Down to brass tacks. Let's take a call. It's 1:47.
Happy New Year, David.
Happy New Year to you, too.
And to your panel as well. I have refrained for the whole of last year from saying anything at all about COVID, because I believe firmly that the only message that should be coming through to the public should be the one put through by the authorities. But saying that is also now to say that the authorities are, let me put a caveat in this here first. I believe everybody involved is doing their utmost best at trying to solve this problem. And I believe everybody has at their heart the best interest of this country to do what they're doing. But at the same time, what I'm seeing done is too much of a PR, public relations exercise, which is going on. There's a reluctance to say that there is community spread. And that reluctance, because you don't necessarily want to admit that, A, maybe there's an error here, a failure here, or whatever, or to give the impression that we are a tourist destination and you don't want to scare away tourists or those sort of things. Or the Prime Minister has invited everybody to come to Barbados on the grounds that we are a COVID-free destination, and you don't want to upset that. And this is counterproductive. We have this problem in Barbados where we are afraid to have open discussion about things. And it is sad, in my opinion, that we need to have brass tacks, having this sort of ventilating this topic to the public, where it is in the government's best interest to make sure that this discussion happens all the time. I'm getting the impression that from the doctors that you have there right now, that they do not feel that their contribution has been accepted by the government or by the powers that be to the degree that they should be. And I have a problem with that.
Let's take another call. Hello?
Hello?
1:51, hello. Coming into the home stretch of today's edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Welcome to the program. Hello?
Hello, good afternoon. Yes.
Yes, good afternoon. Yes.
You and your panel. I have some questions quickly that I want to ask, and I don't understand what the doctor was saying earlier when she said that patients going to Harrison Point, they are just going there in order so that they're not out in the public to cause further infection in the public. I thought that they were being treated there and while they were there, so that they come out of there free of COVID, the virus. That's one. The other one is to suggest that masks, there's no harm in wearing a mask. That is not correct, because, I mean, long before COVID, I was dealing with wearing masks, and I know long periods of wearing masks has an effect on the human being. So that is, in my opinion, is also misleading. My question also is, why isn't more emphasis being placed on boosting your immune system? There must be the immune system. That is something that God has given man, and that is the best defense against any invasion. All this thing, too much emphasis being placed on vaccines. That's a multi-million dollar or billion dollar thing, and with a virus that is mutating and changing almost. How many strains are there out there now? About 6 different ones? So if that is the case, then I think that we need to pay more attention. I don't think that people going to Hart's Point are given any vaccines, are they? Hello?
I need to hear both Anne and Dr. Larder here on this whole question of the boosting the immune response.
So I will try to remember. So his comment, the first comment was about the treatment. Well, if you're not symptomatic and you're not unwell, there is really no treatment. So my point really still is valid. The people who are asymptomatic that go up there do not require any treatment. They are well.
But not everyone.
And I said that the ones who are ill are receiving their treatment, you know. So the vast majority are there because, you know, we are trying to isolate positive people from the rest of society. Your second comment was what again, David?
Hello?
What was the second question? About vaccines, or was it about
immunity? Because the virus is mutating, I'm saying that we are putting too much emphasis, perhaps is being put on vaccine, because the viruses mutate, and this one has been mutating several times. I don't know, I've lost count of the amount of times, and therefore, is the vaccine really going to be that effective across the board? And that's why my focus, I'm saying, should be on immune boosting, which is your best defense against any sickness, including viruses.
So you're right in a basic sense that your immune system helps to fight viruses. But what we have seen in the more than 1 million people who have died so far, especially elderly people, as you age, you have something called immunosenescence. So your body naturally starts to have a less robust immune system. And eating vitamins... Listen, let me finish, right? This is, you know, people are born and then they, you know, eventually we will die. And this is a natural part of that process towards the end. You know, taking vitamins and eating vegetables is always recommended to ensure good health. However, this is not going to help when a virus is going to cause clots in your blood. It's not going to help when the virus is causing your lungs to fill up with water, you know. And so, therefore, we have to look more towards things like vaccine and prevention of the infection once, you know, the person is exposed. But everybody, whether there's a pandemic or not, everybody should be eating well, exercising, and having good mental health.
I want to respond to you, Doctor. There's evidence out there to prove that there are, in true nutrition and true eating, you can blood behavior of how the immune system is able to counter and fight invaders like viruses is there. There's evidence. No vaccine is going to supersede the capacity of a functioning immune system. You pointed out.
Let me hear Dr. Larder's view on this. Dr. Larder?
Well, I think you really just have to look at the history of infectious diseases and the diseases, especially or in particular the ones that have been that are caused by viruses, that actually vaccines are a very, very successful and have been a very, very successful strategy.
They also use the immune system. They use the immune system. You put weakened viruses in the body, the immune system trains to fight it and go and fight it. That's what those successful vaccines have done. Is that incorrect, sir?
Well, a vaccine will help to prime your immune system.
Both of you can't talk at the same time.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, the design of a vaccine is to prime your immune system that once you get see the virus, the immune system can then jump into action very, very quickly.
I'm aware
and
of that.
Virus spreading. So the other thing I would just say about variants, I don't think we need to get too hung up about vaccines and the new variants. I mean, at the moment, and I think I tried to point this out earlier this morning, that there's no evidence that the vaccines won't be effective against the new variants. There's some suggestion that may be the case with the South African variant, but actually the way these vaccines are being produced with very high technology methods, if a predominant strain does emerge that seems to be not the vaccines don't cope with, then the technology is there to very, very quickly adjust those vaccines and to produce vaccines that will then cope with any new variants that are around. And that kind of surveillance is being done all the time. So, and it's kind of a bit like the situation with flu. Flu vaccines are adjusted once a year due to surveillance about what kind of variants are around in the population.
Yes.
And so when you receive a flu vaccine, you receive strains that are the current circulating strains. I think that's probably what's going to happen with COVID. It's going to be an ongoing situation, ongoing surveillance worldwide, and ongoing adjustment of vaccines as is happening with flu.
Well, I want to thank all of you for taking your precious time and sharing it with us today to look at this pandemic and to look at the Barbados response in the current circumstances. We've heard from Dr. Brendan Larder, a virologist who comes to Barbados frequently, a local medical physician who wanted us to just refer to her as Anne, Dr. Adana Grandison of BAMP, who joined us a little later in the program, and of course, from the public sector, Dr. Arthur Phillips and Dr. Kenneth George. I also want to extend my thanks to my producer and technical operator, Dennis Johnson. But a special thank you to all of you who stayed with us throughout this program or joined us somewhere along the line and stayed with us. We thank you very much. This has been Down to Brass Tacks, the Friday edition. I'm David Ellis.